peace, as I stated, we're still in our series on peace. We've come to a huge, huge climatic point in the series where God is actually the last few messages has been revealing the restoration of Eden. And this is still talking about peace, because obviously, if you look at where Adam, I don't say Adam and Eve because she became Eve after the fall, but where Adam and Adam were prior to the fall was the ultimate place of God's peace on earth. It was an Eden place, and we learned last week that this place is still here. It's still available, still accessible. And the climate today we're going to talk about, Eden's climate restored, is a part of our peace. And so we're going to look at this subject of Eden's climate and how it's restored. And it's tremendously amazing, actually. It has everything to do with honoring God. Yeah, we're still in this portion of the series about honoring God. And what honor has been doing, it's been really revealing Eden all over again, that as we honor God with our substance, and we honor God not just with our substance, but with ourselves,
Amen.
it's going to open Eden in its entirety. We saw where the ground of Adam was restored because of honoring. We then saw that we wouldn't eat from the bread of sorrows. As Adam was cursed to eat from the sweat of his brow, that he would eat his bread in sorrow, meaning anxiety and fears and all kinds of just chaos. That those things in those places were destroyed because of Jesus Christ, but also because of us entering into a covenant with him. It's not just what he did, but it's also what he did that affords us to be able to do what we do, to give him ourselves, to give him our substance, to detach ourselves from earthly goods and possessions, that we're not so mindful and being controlled by finance in particular, but we have really been restored into honoring God, to really
Amen.
giving God what belongs to him. We learned last week at the last a bit of the message that we were merely stewards, we're distributors, we're not owners of anything.
Amen.
We're distributors, and as distributors of his household, we don't take an ownership role when it comes to him. We don't become possessive over things. And this is a place of peace. This is a place where God is able to reveal and to manifest Eden again into the life of his people. It's here, it's now, it's not for a time to come. It's what Jesus paid for on the cross. And so today God wants to talk about how to get the climate to be restored. I'm talking about the weather conditions. That's what climate means. The weather conditions prevailing in an area in general or over a long period of time. Obviously, Eden had a tremendous climate, all right? Tremendous climate. In fact, I want to talk about it for just a second. We all know that it means paradise, all right? It means a place of paradise. So the climate in this paradise was absolutely perfect. Adam didn't need any clothing. That tells you how perfect the weather was right there. They were
True.
naked and they were not ashamed. Secondly, we see God formed every beast of the field from Eden, and all the fowls of the air were found in Eden. You know, in climates, different animals live in different climates. And so Eden had every animal that was named, every animal. Every fowl, every bird, every type of bird was found in Eden. Thirdly, I think it's pretty impressive also that every tree that was pleasant for sight and good for food was found in Eden. I'm from the north. I've lived up north and I've lived in the south. I can't even fathom apples and oranges growing in the same climate. We didn't grow oranges up north, and you don't grow apples typically down south. And so in Eden, they had every type of food or every tree that was good for food, good for the eye, and good for food from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That tells you the perfect climate that Eden held. The climate for harvest was perfect.
Wow.
Absolutely perfect. So it was a combination of the north, south, east, and west. It was perfect. It could house all of the plant life and all of the animals from around the world in one place under one climate. We also need to note that all of the valued substance, such as gold and rare gems, were created in Eden. Eden's climate was perfect for all manner of harvest. So when we come into a place in God, in this place of peace, and typically we're learning about another dimension because we've been challenged. We've been challenged with our own, basically our own lives, and not loving our lives even unto death with this message on substance giving. It's creating another dimension of peace. So it's opening up, I believe, a realm to Eden. I truly believe that. So
Amen.
The climate of Eden is being reestablished for the harvest that we're going to be coming into. There was no weather conditions that could stop God's prosperity from manifesting. As I said, I find it personally amazing, having lived in the north and the south, that these two type of plant lives can come together under one in one place. I find it amazing. So God is creating in you, listen to me, in you and in me, he's creating a climate that will produce everything and anything. That coming from your life, you will be able to produce all manner of substance because of God restoring the climate of Eden in you and in me. So where there is no honor, but listen, where there's no honor, there are storms. I want to talk to you about that. Where there's no honor, there are storms. And most of you probably don't realize, well, we're going to Jonah chapter 1.
Amen.
Where there's no honor, there are storms. I'm realizing, my goodness gracious, it's powerful. I'm realizing that outside of a life of giving God honor, the kabod, with my substance, with my own being, it changes the climate of my life. It changes the climate of your life. It changes. It goes from a climate that should have the ability to, again, to produce anything and everything, to now where you're essentially trying to harvest from a place of basically storms, not even just regular storms, but these storms rage and they become storms that are actually hurricanes. I don't know anybody that's outside trying to harvest in the middle of a hurricane. But in essence, when we're not honoring God, we create storms that are hurricane type winds that begin to blow. The climate of Eden that should be producing with ease anything and everything, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. That's the climate that's set in us.
Amen. Praise God.
Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. That is the climate in Christ Jesus as we've learning to give of ourselves. Because we learned last week to die is also, if I die with him, I shall live with him. That's the prerequisite. Now in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah's a very good example of how to really mess up the climate. He's a really good example here. And I find this was pretty amazing in some of the studies I had last week. And I'm not going to be before you very long today, but I am going to hopefully be very impactful to you. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. All right? Backdrop real quick. Jonah didn't want anything to do with Nineveh, because Nineveh was always giving the Jews a fit. They were enemies. Jonah didn't want anything to do with them being reconciled and God forgiving them and not punishing them. So Jonah became very, very rebellious. Everybody knows the story. But then we see something here in verse number 3. So Jonah, it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah paid the fare, it says. And I found that kind of amazing, because I've seen many stories, or I've read many accounts, where people got on ships to go from one place to the next and got on the ship to go here and there. And I've never seen where they paid the fare. I never saw that. So I thought that was interesting that the Bible would note that Jonah paid the fare. I noted it also because Jonah was trying to hide from his presence. And so he paid a fare. And you know, my substance juices started to flow when I saw paid the fare. I automatically thought about substance. I'm like, this guy took substance and used it to try to hide from God. He paid the fare, the Bible says. And he was fleeing from the presence. Now, the word presence means showbread. It's a Hebrew word that translates showbread or to be employed. It means to employ, or it also means honorable. So I started to think about these things as I got into the study and got a little bit deeper. It started to make sense to me. The word paid also means employ, all right? So what Jonah did was employ. It also means brought forth, a couple of similitudes to the word honor the Lord with thy substance. The word honor, brought forth without fail and commit. These are similitudes to the word honoring God. So what Jonah began to do with substance was he began to honor another route other than God. He honored by paying the fare. He gave up substance and he honored. And this is how he's fleeing from God. He took his substance and that became a way of escape for him, or so he thought. Jesus. And as I looked deeper into this, I started to say, my God, it makes so much sense that every time I do something, I'm not talking about we, I'm looking at me here at this point. Every time I do something out of touch with God, with my substance, or with the substance he gave me, I'm in essence doing what Jonah did. I'm paying the fare. I'm paying the fare. And what takes place here, we all know what happened in verse number 4, when we begin to pay the fare and we start to do things without God, dealing with substance, it says here, the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. The climate shifts because we pay the fare. Jonah paid the fare to get away from God. And God, seeing Jonah do this, trying to get away from him or not moving in his presence, causes the wind to create. It created a tempest. The word tempest actually means a hurricane began to blow. Because Jonah's taking substance and utilizing it to do what he wants to do. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. God needed Jonah to go to Nineveh. God asked Jonah to get over to Nineveh. God didn't ask, he commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to do things his way. And it made sense. I see a parallel here that every time I do something my way, I create a different climate other than the climate of Eden.
Amen.
I create a hurricane. I create storms. It's not by what. Listen. We learned last week, it says, if I suffer as an evildoer, even unto bonds, Yeah, I suffer, but the word of God is not bound. But I can suffer as an evildoer. This is what Jonah, in essence, is doing. And this is what we oftentimes, in essence, do. We do things, we spend, and we give, or we put to this or that without God's consent. Remember, the earth still is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The worlds and they that dwell therein. We have an opportunity to walk in a climate that can produce everything and anything. Healed healing can yield to heal in this climate. But if I use substance the way that I want to, not only am I doing things my way, but in essence, I'm also fleeing from the presence of God.
Bless God.
Because I should be, we're going to look at the scripture in just a moment, but the Bible says I should be acknowledging God in all of my ways so that he can direct my paths.
Yes, Lord.
We learned that eating from the tree of life would cause all of our paths to be with paths of peace. And so if I'm not acknowledging God, then in essence, I too am fleeing just like Jonah from his presence. But if I want to do something that I want to do and I don't look at God to find out yay or nay about doing it, am I any different than Jonah? God wanted Jonah in Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he paid the fare. Paid the fare. So watch this. So now, to be in God's presence, it means we are like showbread, which we know is the present, the bread of his presence. It also means that if I'm in God's presence, I'm really under God's employment. I'm employed. But what Jonah did was employ someone else with his substance to get him away from God. So Jonah was called to be employed by God and to live in God's presence. He was trying to run from his position of honor, because the word presence also means honorable. So now Jonah's running from the place of honor. Jonah's running from the God's presence. So now equate that. What helped him do this was substance. He paid the fare. So he used substance to move in a different way. Now this changes climate. Winds begin to blow because Jonah's out of order. How often do winds begin to blow when we're out of order, when we're not doing what God is saying doing? It changes the climate. How often does Satan be able to, he's got access to come in and be the prince of the power of the air over us? And things get hard because why? Because we are paying the wrong fare. Honoring the Lord with our substance and with the first fruit of all of our increase. This changes the climate again, back to Eden. He was trying to run from his position of honor. He employed someone else by paying them so that he might run and hide from God. Again, I found it truly amazing that the Bible noted that he paid the fare. I can't believe it. I've never seen it. Again, I've read many accounts of men entering into ships, but I've never noticed them paying the fare for their travels.
That's true.
When Jonah left God's presence, he left it by spending substance that he shouldn't have been spending. He was using money as a tool to get away from God. I see a major parallel, as I said. I see when we pay the fares of our own desires. We too cause storms to rage. We cause Eden's climate to shift and to change, and the productivity of Eden gets lost in the shuffle. We want to know why we're not walking in abundance and we're not walking in the best that God has to offer. Do you keep paying the fare is the question. How much are you doing without God? And how much honor are you still really giving unto God? So when Jonah was fleeing the presence, he was also fleeing from the place of honor. He was fleeing from the place of honor. And here it is, that money again is the root of all evil. They asked him, the mariners on the ship asked Jonah, they said, where's this evil come from? They called it evil. I should have probably cut and paste the account of when they said it. But they said, where did this evil come from? Jonah was fast asleep, the Bible says. He was asleep in the midst of this storm. Jonah was not ignorant to the fact that God sent the storm for him. He even told the mariners. He said, yeah, this is here because of me. They're like, wait, what? He said, yeah, this is the God that created the sea and the land that he's chasing me because I'm fleeing from his presence. They said, how can we stop this thing? They said, well, Jonah said, chuck me overboard and you'll see, it'll stop. Jonah knew that the climate shifted because of his disobedience. He knew that the climate shifted because he paid the fare to get what he thought could get away from God. Knowing that it was impossible, he knew it himself, but yet he gave it a try. But in the midst of it all, guys, you have to understand something. We have the ability, man, to determine what climate it's going to be over our lives. When we honor God, when we stop paying the fares of this life, stop giving your flesh everything it wants when it wants it. Stop doing the things in which you do. Honor God, praise his name. Kabod the Lord. And you'll see that Eden's climate will come back. And harvest will return. It says it like this over here in the book of Proverbs. Honoring is the key to stopping the tempest. Watch this now. In Proverbs chapter 3, I told you, I'm not going to be very long today. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord, it says, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Watch this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I love verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 because it leads us right to verse 9. See, now in my ways I acknowledge him, and then when I acknowledge him, I then come to the place of honor. Ah, look at this. We got one more on you here. If I acknowledge him, it will lead me to verse number 9. If I, in all my ways, acknowledge him, then verse 9 can kick in my life. Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Hallelujah.
And with the first fruit of all of thine increase. If you're not acknowledging him in your ways, you're not going to honor him. Jonah should have acknowledged God. Not wanting to go to Nineveh, he should have talked to God about it. He would have acknowledged God. Then he wouldn't have paid the fare. His substance would have been right where it belonged. But he paid the fare, and all of a sudden, his climate changes.
Oh, bless God.
But if he would have acknowledged him in all of his ways, God would have directed his path. God directed his path anyway, because he put him in the belly of that fish.
Yes, it did.
In verse number 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Eden's climate is found in verse number 10. The word ways means mode of action. Mode of action. All of the actions in which I take in life, I have to have time with the Lord. I have to bring my mode of action, the very thing I want to do or that I'm going to do. I have to have time with him. It says, what does it say? In some of thy ways acknowledge him. In a few of thy ways acknowledge him. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So that means there's time of fellowship with him in every mode of action I have. Now, I'm acknowledging him in those ways. Watch this. And in that acknowledgement, I found something really powerful. It controls my substance. I'm talking to God about things. And if I'm talking to God about things, watch this. I'm usually not making bonehead financial mistakes because I'm speaking to God about it. And in that financial mistake, I then not only make a financial mistake, but then I have to deal with the fact that I've moved outside of Eden's climate. I'm outside of the climate that should be producing paths of peace. I'm outside of the climate that should be becoming health to all my flesh. I'm outside of the climate that says I walk in abundance and I walk in the supernatural increase of God. Why? Because I'm paying the wrong fare.
Yes.
But when I acknowledge him, oh, hallelujah. The word acknowledge is powerful. It means regard. When I have an understanding from him, I thought about you, Kurt, if you're on the line, I become skillful in the moves that I make, hallelujah. When I become skillful in the moves that I make, my modes of action now are filled with God's skill. I'm not moving wrong. I'm not spending or paying the wrong fare at the wrong time. I'm doing things in a methodical God way. When I perceive, now the word for acknowledge is perceive. When I see things the way that he sees things, when I stop paying the wrong fares, because my flesh says I want to do this, or my flesh says I want to do that. When I stop the madness, hallelujah, and I simply acknowledge God before I take action, I sit with him. Everything around you begins to come into a place of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is added to you. The temperance of the Lord is upon you. You move in a different, gentle way. All of God becomes, it comes upon you. Hasty feet slow way down. And man, you start making better decisions. If you want to come out of the winds and the storms of your life that have been blowing, acknowledge God in every mode of action you have. You'll change the climate. Beautiful paradise of Eden will unfold before you. I love what the Bible says here. It says here, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's all here. It's all in Eden. And now you're changing the climate because you're not paying the fare of this life anymore.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
You're not paying the fares. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The key to true honor is gaining God's input and understanding prior to every mode of action in our lives. Getting his perception on everything we do is the key to restoration of Eden's climate. I'm going to read that again. Getting his perception on everything we do is the key to the restoration of Eden's climate. This will stop the storms of life, and it will keep us in the perfect position of true honor unto God. Just ask yourself, what kind of harvest can you truly receive in the midst of a hurricane? Every time we pay the fare without acknowledging God, we create storms. We, like Jonah, hide from God's presence to do what we want when we want. Eden doesn't function in us and for us like that. It doesn't happen. Now, this last part here, and I'm about to close. Even the mariners got the rhema of substance giving. They got the rhema on substance giving. They did. Right there. Watch this. If the mariners, which means the sailors, if the sailors got a revelation on substance giving, they didn't even know God. But when they saw God, it says it like this, and I'm closing here. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. First of all, I still look at Jonah in a different way. I used to laugh at Jonah. I used to, me and my brother Daryl and my mother, always when we read the story, would just sit there and roll and always talk. And we tell each other, when I get to heaven, I'm going to speak to Jonah and ask him why he did what he did and just laugh. Because it was just ridiculous. I mean, all the way through to God creating a gorge and getting him some shade after he preaches Nineveh back to the place in God and gets him back to the place of repentance. He's hot sitting on a beach. He's still mad with God that he had to go do it. So God, he's sitting on the beach and he's hot. And so God causes a plant to grow instantly, gives him shade, and he's still talking trash. So God curses the plant he made. And then Jonah gets knocked out with a heat stroke. And I'm laughing at this guy, but I'm looking at him a little bit differently when I read verse 12. The understanding he had with God is tremendous.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's tremendous. He had an understanding of God. I mean, he was rebellious, but this man understood his God. It says, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm. Who in the world, how strong are you to be able to say this? You cast me overboard. Now, he's talking, who's going to say this in the midst of a hurricane? Just throw me overboard and you'll see everything will calm down. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. They didn't want to throw Jonah over, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows.
Bless God.
And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. When they saw the God of Jonah, they began to fear that God. In the beginning, the mariners didn't know whose God was doing what. They said, wake up, talk to your God. Because it might be because of you. They didn't know who the Lord was. They met the Lord through this happening with Jonah. They got saved in essence because they found the real God of heaven and earth. And when they found him, they instantly offered their substance to him. And then they made promises. The word vows means promises. They made promises that they would continue to follow on with him. They would continue to walk after him. So they gave their substance and they made vows to continue to follow after him. Now, that was the mariners. How many times is God going to have to show us or tell us? Or are we going to just continue to pay the fare and keep on, let the winds continue to blow? No, but how about when you see the wind cease? How about as you watch God move? How about
yes,
you remember
God.
When God touched you and healed you? How about you remember and really, really bring forth a real moment that you can do honor God with your substance? What has he done for you to cause the winds to cease? What has he done for you? Maybe it was a loved one that he healed and didn't let die. Maybe it was a situation that he got you out of financially. What is it? What took place? Because when the mariners saw the wind cease, they instantly wanted to honor him with their substance. And they made vows to continue. Now you could take a moment right now. You could take a moment right now. You can imbibe the fact that you might be just completely propitiated. You might have had a terrible night last night, but you're in the Word today. God is blessing you. He's brought peace over your mind. That's a good place to start with your honor.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
What winds did he cause to cease for you? Because honor is really honor, people. Take a moment and think about what he's done. Take a moment and think about what he's doing. Find a place where you can honor the Lord. Change the climate from blowing hurricane type winds and messing up your harvest. Change the climate back to Eden. And let all of the precious substance of the earth grow. Let it all come to you. You don't have to go out like you've been. You don't have to keep paying the fare. Pull back from it. Find an authentic reason to honor the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know he stopped the storm in your life or two.
Yes, thank you.
You might have a storm raging right now. I say this, the mariners found the real offering. They found the real offering when they tossed Jonah aside. Toss your Jonah over the side and watch God stop the storms of your life. Honor him.
Thank you, Jesus.
What is God saying I want from you? That's your Jonah. What is he saying? Release and let this go, and I promise all of your winds will cease. What is God wanting from you? Toss it over. Toss it over. Let it go. This is what substance giving does. It causes you to give. And give and give. Just like the song, you give yourself away. You really do. But these mariners saw the God of peace. They saw him and they gave. Think about it. You can change the climate back to Eden. Let it go back to paradise. Let it go back to paradise. So even the men saw the climate change. And when they did, they sowed their substance in honor unto God. They also made promises to God to continue to follow him. When we give ourselves and our substance, we too will see the climate of Eden restored, and nothing, and I mean nothing, will be withheld from us ever again.
Bless God.
Ever again.
Bless God, bless God.
But these are choices that you got to make. These are choices that you have to go in and you have to make. Do you still want to try to pick up what you can, the scraps after the hurricanes? Is that what you're trying to do, the scraps after the storms? Or do you want the Eden climate to flow freely in your life? To flow freely in your life. Where everything pleasant, everything that was good to look upon, everything that was good for food, everything that was created in the Garden of Eden. Everything. Everything good. Everything that was worthy came out of that place. All of the beasts of the field, it said, all of the fowls of the air, all the beautiful trees to look upon and to eat from. It all came from there. The perfect climate to harvest anything. Hallelujah. Change your climate. Honor God. Hallelujah. There's a few comments here. I'll just read them. Elder Allison said, this is fire. Jay said, this is really good. And Elder Donna says, thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you. And Elder Allison said, awesome. And I say, amen. Amen to all of them. Father, you spoke to our hearts. You spoke the word to us.
Thank you,
The
Lord.
the reality of Eden is here. It's now. It's upon us. The reality, Lord Jesus, of the climate that we can really live under is now. Help us to stop paying the fares and doing things our way. Help us to, Lord, look into and acknowledge you. Help us to have your perception. Help us to receive your discernment. Help us to understand your choice prior to us doing anything, prior to us paying any fare of this life that is spawned by our own desires. But Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, and in doing so, we'll see. Our eyes will behold the climate shift and change. Our eyes will behold, Lord God, the harvest that has been waiting for us. And I give you glory, Master, that we don't have to pay the fares, that we can hear from heaven. We can hear directly from you on what to do in any situation or circumstance before we move in any mode of action. We can hear your counsel. Help us to be patient enough to hear. Don't let the flesh rage to where we don't even take the time to listen. But Father, as we are seeking the climate of Eden, as we are seeking the life that has been promised unto us, as we're seeking, Lord God, your perfect place of peace, give us the patience we need. Slow everything down around us. And we give you glory for it, Master, we do. We praise your holy and your majestic name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, thank you.
Slowing it all down. For slowing it all down, Jesus. Just a moment, everyone. Just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you haven't experienced the winds blow as of yet. But make no mistake, anytime you pay the fare of your desire, you do hide from my presence. And you're creating a catastrophic storm that's about to be revealed. But I am your Lord. I am your God. I see what you can't. And I tell you today, before one leaf blows from off the tree, I can stop the storm. I can stop it now. Take back the fare in which you've paid. Get off of the boat and come into my presence. Let me counsel you. Let me speak with you. Let me entreat with you. And then I'll guide you. You'll avoid the storm, and I'll reverse the climate from destruction, and I'll bring it into harvest. There won't be any destruction. There won't be a catastrophe to break loose in your life. Step away from the boat. Move away from the boat. Get back the fair money. Take it back into your possession. And honor me. Honor me for not only stopping a storm, but honor me for you avoiding the storm. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear the Lord say, all is forgiven today. All is forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Step away from it. Move away from it now. The winds will not pick up. They will not blow. But if you continue to pay the fare, if you stay on the boat, remember this day that I said a storm was coming. Jesus. Master. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I give you strength. I give you strength.
Thank you, Lord.
To get off the ship. I give you strength. I give you strength, man. Ooh, master. The only wind you should be moving in is the abounding winds of my spirit. The perfect climate for all harvest. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them. You shall have Jesus. I give you praise. His presence is on the line. There's a tremendous anointing. Everything is slowing down right now. Oh, hallelujah. The winds that were blowing, the ones that were already blowing are ceasing. It's a good place for you to honor God right there. Just like the mariners, when they saw it cease, they knew it was time to honor him. Honor him because your troubles are ceasing. Now, your climate is changing now. Hey, God, yeah. There's a shift in your climate. My God. Strength and power are returning. Jesus. You're being stabilized. Master. Walk away, pull back, and move away. Stop paying the fares of this life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh, man, that's good.
Hallelujah.
There's an anointing on this line right this moment. So many people can walk free right now. So many people that are on the line can really and truthfully walk free right now. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be. Blanche, I hear the Lord say that the door is open right now for you. There's an open door to be all in. There's such a reconciliation that's over you. There's a spirit of reconciliation. Not saying that you were walking crazy outside of God, but there's a spirit of reconciliation that's just, I mean, just on you right now, for God to align, for God to strengthen, for God to really confirm vision. It's such an anointing over you right now for you to see the climate of Eden really activate and move forward in your life. There is an anointing that's particularly on you right there. And it's also on Shatina. There's an anointing on Shatina today that is, I mean, the spirit of reconciliation is all over you, to where the relationship that is between you and the Lord is 100%, I hear this, I got to say it, 100% reconciled right now, right now. What was done, what wasn't done, it doesn't matter. No, nothing matters. It's what God is doing right now. There's an anointing, and you two are under a climate to where everything and anything can come to pass. Yeah, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, that's what God said. That's the anointing you're under, because God is all over you with reconciliation. Doesn't mean you are living in sin like this or that. Nope, it's just, he said, I'm just reconciling you back unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And he's pushing out, he's moving out everything in every part of that was every bad case of weather that was in the spirit realm for you, all of the rainy days, all of those days, all of the ups and downs, sometimes cold, sometimes hot, all of that, all of the inconsistencies in the climate are being uprooted, and God is establishing a perfect climate of Eden for both of you right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And there's an anointing. Don't let the movement of your mouth be done in silence. No. There's a laudation on both of you, and it needs to be released. There's a laudation that's there. And boy, it's going to be the sounding of the alarm of all trumpets. And my goodness, it's going to sound out. And every enemy that has been set up, that has been in your garden, is about to run for their lives. They came in one way, they're fleeing seven different ways.
Hallelujah, God, Jesus.
You absolute victory today. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah, God.
Glory be to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Blanche, get ready for an immediate results. Get ready for immediate results. Immediate results. Yes, Lord. I have to say this, and this is with no disrespect, but dry bones are about to live. They're about to rise. Oh, glory be to God. What looked like was dead is not. Life has sprung into it. And it's going to rise and run. It's going to rise and run. And I hear the Lord say there's a long stretch of running that you get to do in this right now season. Both of you, there's a long stretch of running that you get to do.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You're going to run and not be weary. You're going to walk and you're not going to faint. And you're going to win 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 some more. No distractions. You're just going to keep on winning. Hallelujah.
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
Amen, God.
Come on. So cool.
No distraction.
So good. So good.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, glory be to God.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. But there's such an anointing for everyone that is still on the line that if you look, if you just kind of discern your climate, you'll know that there's been a shift. This is the climate that you speak into. This is the climate that you as Adam, when you name a thing, it becomes the thing you name. He named the animals, and it became what he said. The functionality in it, what it did, the name he gave it was exactly how it functioned. Whatever you name in this climate, it will become function. It will become reality. It will actualize. Jesus, it will actualize. But I just keep hearing this, but just don't allow everyone on the line. Don't allow the movement of your mouth to be done in silence. Don't do it in silence. Let it be heard. Don't do it. It's not an inward thing. It's something you're doing outward. Because it will function. It will walk. It will move. It will actualize. It will produce in the manner in which you sit under this climate. I've been speaking into the narrative of my days, and I've been speaking into the narrative, and I've been noticing that under this climate, the narratives are shifting things. Things that should not happen are happening. Things that typically wouldn't happen are taking place. Because I understand the climate that I'm sitting under right now, and I'm telling you, the curse of Adam is broken and destroyed.
Yes, God.
Absolutely destroyed.
Yes,
substance
God. Yes,
giver.
God.
Yes, the curse God. Of Adam is destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Your ground has changed. No more eating your bread in sorrow, and the climate of Eden has been restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You
yes,
get to
God.
Eat from the tree of life freely. You're walking under the wisdom and the knowledge of God right now. You get to say those things in which you desire, and they will come to pass.
Thank you, Jesus.
And there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, God.
Amen. Amen. We're going to honor the Lord. You know how to do it. You know the drill. If you're cash apping with anything, you're going to honor God with your tenth or your first fruit or your any free will offering, a seed to the word, whatever you're going to give, $ True Gospel Men's. If you're selling it, it's truegospelmens@aol.com is the address. But honor the Lord today. Take a moment and say, okay, you know what? I realized you did stop this. You did do this.
Oh,
and I'll act like one of the mariners. I remember when you did this. Oh, my goodness. And now I'm going to honor you here. And then make your vows to him. I'm going to do everything I got to do to stay up on this thing, Father. I'm not stopping.
Bless you, Jesus.
Yeah. But honor him today, everyone. Honor the Lord. You tithers, give your tithes. You first fruit givers, honor him. Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
Amen. I'm finished right there. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Hey.